This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la vacuna que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Cody, and guess what?
What'd it do, boom?
It's never too early to play holiday music, and it's never too early to start thinking about gifts. Whether it's for a friend or the friends in your pants, you can make this a season to be jolly with Manscaped. Do your little drummer boy a favor and use the Lawnmower 4.0 to avoid another silent night in the bedroom.
Yeah, I don't make
then any add noise. In Manscaped's top-of-the-line shower products to have the people thinking all I want for Christmas is you. Santa cares about his sack, and so should you. Look nice when you get naughty by going to manscaped.com and using code K100 for free shipping and 20% off. Is it K100, by the way, Joe?
Yes, sir.
Okay. To tell you a little about the product, this is our favorite product, by the way, and it's one of our biggest sellers because people have heard about this, like we talk about it all the time. But the Manscaped Platinum Package 4.0 is a one-stop shop for the man who deserves it all. There's everything needed to help you deck the halls from face to balls just in time for mistletoe season. The Platinum Package has each product from the best-selling Performance Package Plus Ultra Premium Body Wash, Ultra Premium 2-in-1 Shampoo and Conditioner, and Ultra Premium Deodorant. I know a lot of wrestling fans could use that. It's the best way to smell fresh from your Santa hat to your candy cane. And the Lawnmower 4.0 Body Trimmer is my favorite, and the Weed Whacker Nose and Hair Trimmer feature proprietary advanced skin-safe technology to protect your delicate presence. Plus, both are waterproof, so there's no issue clearing the snow out of your driveway. There's also a 4000K LED light, so you can light the way just like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Now that you have groomed candy cane, it's time to make sure you don't smell like a reindeer with the Platinum Package of shower products. All of Manscaped's shower gear is sulfate-free, vegan. Joe, I know you love that.
Very important.
Made to have your skin feeling hydrated and smelling fresh. But smelling good doesn't stop at the shower. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Turner can solve stank problems all day long. Once they touch your sack, you'll never go back. The Platinum Package 4.0 sitting on the tree is guaranteed to put anyone in the holiday spirit. And for the perfect stocking stuffer, add in the brand new Body Buffer. An incredible body scrubber that makes exfoliating.
Oh, yeah, I saw
easy.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot cleaner than an old loofah. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code K100 manscaped.com. 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code K100. Manscaped, get your jingle balls ready for the holidays.
Bro, first of all, Manscaped always has funny ads. And the second thing is, it's incredible.
And they just keep adding shit. Because like when we first got it, all they gave you was like the razor and maybe like a conditioner and the briefs, remember? Yep. And the leather bag. And now they've been adding all this extra stuff, you know.
Yeah, deodorant.
They got nose clipper, deodorant. So, you know, keep yourself clean. Keep yourself groomed. Keep yourself hygienic. And this product works. We all use it. It's a great product. Get your Manscaped. Boom.
So Harvey Weinstein's back on trial, okay? And there's, you know, women are accusing him of rape and stuff, I think. And, you know, one of the accusers is Gavin Newsom's wife from an incident that happened back in 2005, right? Now, the reason I want to talk about this is because to me, this is kind of weird because the Me Too movement kind of like opened the, like it opened a door into a, like kind of like a weird, like what I would consider like, you know, something that like, you know, we kind of like consider rape, and it's basically the culture of the Hollywood casting couch, you know? And it's kind of weird, you know, Harvey Weinstein's like a big time movie producer, lot of influence, made a lot of famous people, like a lot of women, attractive women, you know, got made famous, you know, by Harvey Weinstein and stuff and things. But what the guy did was, you know, he kind of used his power to get sexual favors from women to advance their careers. And it's like, the thing is like, you know, back then this was like, you know, you look at the, like everybody knew this was going on with this guy. You know, he's like the classic casting couch mogul, you know, like, and you know, major contributor, you know, friends with, you know, the Hillary Clinton, Obama, big time contributor to the Democratic Party. So they kind of all knew what was going on with this guy. And it's like, you know, finally, like, you know, Rose McGowan, I think, is the one that kind of like opened the Pandora's box. It's basically saying, you know, Harvey Weinstein raped me, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I wondered, like, I looked in this and I'm reading this article from Gavin Newsom's wife, right? And I tweeted about this, okay? And because I'm just tweeting the way it reads, okay? And I tweeted, Gavin Newsom's wife had sex with Harvey Weinstein, right? And I knew that tweet would trigger people because I wanted to talk about this stuff, but I didn't realize it would be I'd get ratio like as many people, but like, because everybody on the you know reads the headline, they see that she's you know she's in court now accusing this guy of rape, you know, 17 years later and stuff and you know, all that, and it's like, you know, you just assume that this you know she was raped, right? And you just read the details, and the thing about this is like this Hollywood thing about this stuff is, you know, it's like the same stories. I want to read you like there's tons of accusers came out of the woodwork now that Harvey Weinstein kind of like is taking the fall now, okay? Because you got, you know, basically this is a guy that is unattractive and basically is telling girls, you know, do this for me and I'll help you out. There's a lot of abused women that work in my club. You know, like we have story, like we have girls that come into work, they're having trouble, you know, they're suffering abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, you know, rape and stuff and all that, you know, but they're just like in relationships with bad boyfriends. And like, you know, you have other type of rapes where people have, you know, strangers kind of forcibly, you know, get a girl and they, you know, they physically assault her, attack her and rape her. But this whole thing is like, it's weird to me. And I want to have a conversation about this because like, you know, you have a lot of people that kind of know about the casting couch, and like all these stories are the same with this guy. Like if you read, there's an article from Elle magazine. This is from when you know there was an article that outed Harvey Weinstein. Harvey Weinstein said, you know, he basically maintains his innocence. He said everything was consensual, okay, with these girls. And I'm like, you know, you read some of the stories. And
let me just say one thing real quick before you continue. Make sure that to add context to this, so people know some of the research that we did or what we read, Joe, send the two articles that on the, you know.
Yeah, the one from LL.com, but the one
that was Disco, one that, yeah. Disco gave, because the second one I'd never read.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I was blown away because I was like, wow.
Yeah, the ones Disco sent, I'll just put in the show notes for people.
Right. Because from L.com, and the brothers, there's tons of girls in this. And then basically there's basically a cliff notes of their account. I'm going to read you some of them because this sounds just like a pattern of a guy that, like, I guess was comfortable doing this for so long. And one of a lot of these actresses, I don't know, some of them you will know, but like, there's a lot of famous people here, right? And they're all, these are all women that became, that kind of ended up becoming famous, most of them, right? So one's Asia Argento. Speaking to New Yorker, Argento alleged Weinstein invited her, which she took to be a party to a hotel in the French Riviera, but when she arrived, only Weinstein was present. Argento said that Weinstein changed into a bathrobe, forcibly performed oral sex on her as she told him to stop. He terrified me and he was so big, she said, it wouldn't stop. It was a nightmare. Argento also said that she had consensual sex with Weinstein several times over the next 5 years and she felt obligated to submit to his sexual advances. After the rape, he won, she said.
Yeah.
So next is from Emma DeConis. DeConis told the New Yorker that Weinstein invited her to a lunch meeting in Paris. He claimed he had a movie role in mind for her and asked her to come to his hotel room to retrieve a copy of the book of which the movie was based. When they arrived, she said Weinstein disappeared to the bathroom, emerged naked with an erection, at which point she fled. I was petrified, she said, but I did want to show him that I was petrified because I feel the more I was freaking out, the more he's excited. So this girl, okay, the guy comes out, he's got, she leaves. Okay, so this is the thing, you know, it's okay. Harvey Weinstein tried his shtick on her, whatever, you know, his deal, like he gets a bathrobe or he comes out naked.
She
left, right? Okay. Dawn Dunning, a costume designer, told the New York Times she met Weinstein in 2003 at a club where she waited tables. She was an aspiring actress at the time and then said that Weinstein promised her a screen test for Miramax. And when she arrived at his hotel suite for a meeting, now they're all going to this guy's hotel room for meetings. That's like his what do you call it?
Modus operandi.
Yeah, modus operandi.
Yeah, but he would always tell them that, like, hey, it's me and my staff. So you're
right.
Thinking,
and, and he would dismiss
the staff's right. going to be there when I show up.
Yeah, and sometimes
then the staff, right.
Sometimes okay. there'd be his woman assistant would even let them in the room and close the door
right.
on them and split.
Close the door and then leave, right? Like this obviously something that this guy has been doing and done repeatedly. So Weinstein was waiting in a bathroom with contracts laid out for his next three film projects. She's told her that she could sign them, but only she had a threesome with him. And when she laughed, assuming he was joking, well, Weinstein reportedly said, you'll never make it in this business. This is how the business works. And you know what happened with her?
She never made it.
She fled the room at this point, she said, and hung up when Weinstein's assistant called her next day. And shortly afterwards, she left acting, became a costume designer.
Yeah.
It's like she would not submit. Like this is literally like the door, the doorway you have to go through to get famous in this business. You know, through this guy like Harvey Weinstein, right?
When things feel a bit chaotic, Instacart helps deliver milk and sausage. Add a little life to your cart. Get stuff from literally all your stores, from baby wipes to albacore. Add a little life to your cart. Instacart helps get your groceries. Your first three deliveries are free.
Download Instacart. Add life to cart. Terms apply.
Lucia Stoller. There's tons of these. I'm reading about six or seven of them, right? So this, but they're all. I just kind of get the gist of the stories here. Stoller told New Yorker that she was approached by Weinstein in 2004 when she was an aspiring actress. He began calling her, she said, and his assistant invited her to casting, which turned out to be a solo meeting with Weinstein, who, quote, was simultaneously flattering me and demeaning me and making me feel bad about myself. She stated he forced her to perform oral sex on him, despite her saying no repeatedly. I tried to get away, but maybe I didn't try hard enough. I didn't want to kick or fight him. Eventually, I just sort of gave up. That's the most horrible part of it. Then that's why he's been able to do this for so long to so many women. People give up and they feel like it's their fault. Okay. Gwyneth Paltrow. All right. Obviously, we know her. She's very famous. Remember when Conan, do you remember when Raven said that he flirted with Gwyneth Paltrow at the airport or something?
No.
Raven said he had like a moment with Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah, right.
Like flirting, whatever. So that's Raven. Paltrow told the Times that at 22, Weinstein summoned her to his hotel room and suggested they head to the bedroom for massages, which she refused. She said that she then confided in then-boyfriend Brad Pitt, who confronted Weinstein about the incident. Representative Pitt confirmed this account. Soon after this, Paltrow said Weinstein called her and screamed at her for a long time, berating her for disclosing what happened in the hotel room. At the time, Paltrow had just been in the cast in the Weinstein-produced movie Emma and then, quote, thought he was going to fire me. Okay? Well, she turned him down. Brad Pitt kind of like, you know, put him in his place.
Yeah.
She yelled at him, but she still made it, right? She's obviously made in the business pretty well. A couple of these other ones are in. I'm just going to read you a couple more because they kind of like tell this story here. Okay. Melissa Sage Miller, the actress. I don't know why these women, I just know kind of like the famous ones because I don't know a lot of female actresses by name, right? I don't think a lot of us do.
Well, a lot of them aren't famous.
Yeah. The actress told Huffington Post that Weinstein made uninvited advances towards her in 2000, this is 22 years ago, while she's filming the movie Get Over It. On one occasion, stage builder said that Weinstein tried to coax her into his hotel room, asked for a massage, and would not let her leave until she kissed him. I said, fine, and kissed him on the lips. Sort of held my head and made me kiss him. Then he's like, okay, you can go now. That's all I wanted. Just do what I say, and you can get your way. After filming wraps, Sage Miller said Weinstein insisted that she should travel back from Toronto to New York on his private plane rather than her separate flight. She refused, but said that when she got to the airport, she found that Weinstein had ordered airport personnel to deliver her to this private plane and had her bags removed from her scheduled flight. So I get on the plane, I walk up, and I go, Harvey, you MF-er. He's just sitting there. He pats his hand in the seat next to me. He's like, see, Melissa, you can't say no to me. I always get what I want. There were other actresses on the plane, Sage Miller said, including Sisko and Shane West, and she stayed with West throughout the flight. If I'd walked in there and it was just me and Weinstein, I don't know. I would have had to run away because that's horrendous. It was a short flight. Shane and I were talking. We were friendly, and I stuck by him. I'm sure I had told him Harvey's stories, okay? So that's a, you know, Sage Miller said she wasn't entirely silent about the encounters at times. She was encouraged not to formally speak out about it. So obviously he tries to keep this stuff quiet, but everybody knows about
everybody
this,
knows
right?
about it.
I was never told, are you okay? Do you want to say anything? Do you want to report this? Nothing like that. It was just, quote, that's Harvey.
You also right. got to remember,
right.
they're also seeing that this guy made Pulp Fiction,
right?
You know, Clerks,
yeah.
Goodwill Hunting. Those are some of the greatest
films. A-plus.
Right. And listen to this. I don't know who came up with this. They said that in Academy Award acceptance speeches from 1966 to 2016,
mm-hmm.
found that Weinstein had been thanked or praised in 34 speeches, as many times as God and second only to Steven Spielberg.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, Meryl Streep in one of her speeches. Harvey is God.
And look at where this guy is now. He's right. in jail. He's like, hey, the last one's from Eva Green.
And
right?
read the last one I want you to read. It's from Lupita Nyong'o.
Okay, I'll read this one, then they'll read that one. From Eva Green. The actress told Variety that she met Weinstein for a business meeting in Paris where he, quote, he behaved inappropriately. I had to push him off. I got away without it going further, but the experience left me shocked and disgusted. We should recognize that this sort of behavior exists everywhere and is not unique to the entertainment industry. The exploitation of power is ubiquitous. This behavior is unacceptable and needs to be eliminated. Okay. That's very important because I want to get back to that. And the reason I said that is because it opens the door for a whole new different conversation. Okay. Well, the last one is from who?
Lupita Nyong'o. It's one of the last ones. It's not the last one. Here.
Are you reading it? Go ahead and read it. If you have it. Fine. Oh, here. I got it right here. Okay.
Okay.
Nyong'o wrote an account of harassment by Weinstein and op-ed in The Times. She wrote that she first met him in 2011 while a student in the Yale School of Drama, and that shortly afterwards he invited her to a film screen. On the day screening, she wrote, Weinstein's driver picked him to Goya and took her to meet Weinstein at a restaurant, which she said he tried to insist that she drink alcohol and called her stubborn for refusing. Though it was strange, Nyong'o said he struck her as pushy and idiosyncratic more than anything. Nyong'o said that she and Weinstein arrived at his home to watch the film in his screening room, along with his domestic staff and young children. So he's got kids, right? 15 minutes into the film, she wrote, Weinstein asked her to leave with him, saying he wanted to show her something. She reluctantly agreed and went with Weinstein into his bedroom, where he asked to give her a massage. For the first time since I met him, I felt unsafe. I panicked a little and thought quickly to offer to give him one instead. It would allow me to be in control physically to know exactly where his hands were at all times, she wrote. But because part of her curriculum included body work, she felt she could rationalize the massage and keep a semblance of professionalism in spite of the bizarre circumstance. Shortly after she began massaging, Nyong'o wrote, Weinstein said that he wanted to take off his pants and got up to do so and did so even after she told him not to. At this point, she said she left, telling Weinstein she was not comfortable. He put his shirt on and again mentioned how stubborn I was. I agreed with an easy laugh, trying to get myself out of the situation safely. While disturbed by the incident, Nyong'o said she was able to rationalize it as, quote, inappropriate, uncalled for, but not overtly sexual. She invited him to a school production she was in,
right.
hoping that this, in a way, would see her as a professional. A few months later, she wrote, Weinstein invited her to dinner in New York, to which he asked her to come up to his hotel room. She refused, and in response, she said, Weinstein told me not to be so naive, she wrote. If I wanted to be an actress, that I had to be willing to do this sort of thing. According to Nyong'o, she declined this offer, telling him, I would not be able to sleep at night if I did what you were asking. Weinstein's demeanor changed, she said, and told her she could leave. And as she left in the cab, Weinstein asked Weinstein if they were good. I don't know about your career, but you'll be fine, he said. It felt like both a threat and a reassurance at the same time of what I couldn't be sure. All right? So let's get to this. So Gavin Newsom's wife is testifying in this trial, but this is her account of what happened. Okay. So basically, Gavin Newsom's wife, right? She had to describe, you know, she basically, her account is she met the guy at a thing at a, her and another girl met him at a bar, at a hotel bar or something. He found out who she was. He said, I want to continue talk about, like, she's like a screenwriter or whatever, something like writes plays, or whatever. So, you know, he basically invited her up to his room, you know, for a meeting. The assistant, you know, left the room and basically is saying it was rape, you know, same account of like what the other girls say, right? So he says, I'm standing, I'm resisting, horror, I'm trembling, this is my worst nightmare, I'm just this blow-up doll he's trying to masturbate off of. She described her penis as lots of bruises, markings, yellow and green, lots of stretch marks on his belly, very not physically fit at all, looked uncircumcised and strange, though, kind of fish-like, the penis. Something was distorted in the testicles, lots of skin down there. So she said she greeted me Weinstein in his hotel to discuss a film project because, and she quotes this, he could make or ruin your career. Okay, once they were alone in the rooms, Weinstein changed out of his suit into a robe and started to manipulate and threaten her while mentioning several actresses' names. She said Weinstein penetrated her private parts with his fingers and then his deformed penis. She tearfully said, I know he knows this is not normal. He knows this is not consent. And then he puts parts of his penis inside of me and he pushes me back against the bed. I'm not staying in because his penis is so weird and messed up. He realizes this. I was just worried I was going to get some disease. It was so gross. I just made some noises to get him to ejaculate faster, like pleasure noises. The lawyer in this case, Harvey Weinstein's lawyer, tried to make her simulate how she faked an orgasm. Jeez. Like this is all a mess. Like that Gavin Newsom's wife has to be on the stand, like testify about this stuff, right? She felt that it was a one-off thing and that Weinstein had gotten married. I tried to put what happened to a box, even though it came out at times, and my sadness and my fear changed at times into anger. But in 2007, she sent him an email. She sought his advice when Newsom was mayor of San Francisco. It's like, I believe that Harvey Weinstein had a relationship with the press and understood how to handle the press and thought he could be helped. Like, this is kind of weird how, like, they know this guy's a pig. They know, like, what he's doing is not right. But, like, you know, when this is, like, the Hollywood culture thing, and it's like, is the guy a pig? Yes. But, like, think about all the other people that are, like, pigs. The way they manipulate women and stuff, and try to get them to sleep with them, and they have influence and this stuff. And, like, what do you think about all this?
Well, I just think, without even getting into the Harvey Weinstein case, I'm going to talk about Harvey, Bill Cosby, and any other celebrity or rich guys.
Right.
I can't believe that you're so rich that you're not smart enough to buy an escort and keep it on the down low. That's number one. Number two, I guess that even though they could pay for it, they feel they're so powerful and omnipotent that they'd rather just fucking take it. And they had to know that they were going to have to pay a price sooner or later because what they were doing was wrong, even though some people agreed to go along with it. Number three, you've got to wonder what type of person somebody is, because nobody's going to dump on you unless you're an asshole. And I'll give you an example. Let's say all of a sudden you and Joe got mad at me and you said, let's fucking get all our friends and start a rumor about Conan. And at first people are like, okay, well, it's just one guy. Maybe it's just a problem. It's just two guys. It's just three guys. It's just four guys. After a while, it's so many people, people are going to believe it, because why would all those people lie about you if you weren't doing it? You know, most people are not going to go out of their way to bury you for something you didn't do, but they will if you were a total asshole and you deserve it. So he's got to be guilty in this. Plus, there's too many women that have real reputations that are willing to come out and say what he did for it not to have happened. So obviously he did do it. He was wrong and he's got to pay a price. Now, where I do agree with you is, and I've always thought this even before we had this conversation, is, dude, I actually had a couple times, and I'll give you the story, not today because I'm kind of tired, but I'll give it to you another day. One of them actually was with Rey Mysterio, where we actually had, you know, advances by men. And in my case, really rich guys that were willing to, like, be my sugar daddy and take care of me and pay for a mansion for me to live in and do whatever the fuck I wanted. And you know, I made sure that the guy understood that wasn't going to happen. I never let him on. I never let him to believe anything was going to happen. And as a matter of fact, I got very angry with my boss at that time, Antonio Peña, and he knew what was going on. And he was hoping that I'd somehow not go through with it, but at least lead the guy on and give him like a price break on so we could use this arena that we were working at. And I told him, bro, don't ever bring me here again. Don't ever put me in this situation again, or everybody at this table is going to get it. And by chance, we ran into each other at this fucking dinner, and the guy put his hands on me under the table. And bro, I fucking went DEFCON 5 or 1, whichever is the worst one. And the guy never showed up again. And then we actually ran into him, me and Rey Mysterio, like a year later at a strip club. And he tried it one last time. I didn't want to be there. I felt uncomfortable. I didn't need to do it to get a push. So I never went with, I went through it. So I just think to myself, okay, let's say you felt pressured to do it because you may never work, or he may not give you work, or you're at that moment, you're afraid of him getting physical. Maybe, you know, he was imposing to you. But why on God's green earth would you ever come back to him? You know, that I do. I don't care what I'll debate anybody on that.
Right. It's weird because what we have this is obviously what he's doing is wrong. And like anybody that does this is wrong. Okay. Using your position and power, threatening people with their financial future or stuff or thing, you know, like that was more of the threat than anything, was like they're threatening their careers.
Let me finish this thought here.
It's still wrong. I'm not saying it's right. Okay. Cause you're using power. You're using influence to threaten people to submit to you sexually to help advance their career. It's called transactional sex is the term they use in court, right? You're getting something out of what I'm giving you. It's like prostitution, right?
Now, to be serious, this kind of thing always went on in Hollywood. And I mean, if you read books about Hollywood from the 30s to the 60s to the 80s to the 90s, this shit happened to actors, actresses, directors, writers, everybody to get in. That's where the casting couch thing came from. And so I'm not saying, just like Disco said, obviously it's wrong, but some of these guys that got into power positions, they think that comes with it. All right, I'm in control now, and they like having people under their thumb like that. All right, if he doesn't want to play along, fuck him. He's not going to get this role, or she's not going to get this role, or whatever. That was a part of the deal back then, but it's not anymore, obviously. If things have changed, it's like Harvey, because him, obviously, he was flat on power. He was forcing girls to do stuff.
It's not just Harvey Weinstein.
Trump, it's the society. Trump
grabbed by the pussy.
Yeah, exactly.
Clinton.
Yeah.
You know, even Biden's been accused of that woman that accused him.
A couple of times.
And you know what's funny?
So it's
usually,
like just all people in power, you know?
Right. And you know what's funny? It's always, you know, the ugly older guys, you know what I'm saying?
You know who got nailed for it? James Franco.
Yeah, but usually that's not the case.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but like I told you, and I've told this story a couple times, Spiff invited me to a couple parties in Hollywood. And when I went in there, you know, these guys, these rappers that were dating famous people and they didn't want them to find out about it, they'd have all the girls put their phones in a bag. So there's no way anybody could film anything or record anything, you know, or have any fucking proof. And
pictures,
I thought, wow,
no
that's
selfies.
Fucking,
yeah.
You gotta be, if you're going to do something like that nowadays, you know, like Disco says, groupies show up all the time and they have no problem letting you know that they want to get laid. I see it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Girls
right.
came up to us and they were like, hey, do you know Glenn? And I'm like, yeah, I know Glenn. And they're like, will you introduce me to him? And I'm like, yeah, we're going out tonight. And you want me to fucking hook you guys up? And then I'd go to Glenn. I go, what do you think of this chick or whatever? And he said, yeah, she's cool. And I'd go, well, she digs you, bro. And then we'd all go out, you know? So that's how it really was.
This culture is a lot less sexually active. We all know that and have read reports and have seen it. So sometimes it's hard for people that aren't sexually active to understand, you know, someone going home with someone and sleeping with them the first night or whatever. Oh, there's got to be something nefarious going on. Oh, she was probably wasted. You took advantage of her, because they've never been in that. They've never been in situations like that where they've hooked up, you know, so they don't have a lot of understanding of that.
Bro, if you're rich and you got a lot of money and you've got access to giving anybody whatever they want, and you got to rape somebody, you have zero fucking game.
Yeah. I mean, Harvey Weinstein is a billionaire and has gotten taken down. He's in jail now. He's decrepit. He's right.
And I love how now he shows up in a wheelchair, pretending he's harmless. Like there's no way a guy in a wheelchair could have done this.
Feeble
to you.
And everything. Yeah.
But he knows what he's doing.
Right. He's on a walker, and you know
that's like the classic wearing a neck brace to court or like a bringing a cane.
People have caught that act. I don't think it's going to work.
No,
we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. But it's interesting. So for the thing about this Harvey Weinstein trial that's going on now, the 11 counts, they've already dropped 4 of them. Shows you how this is all kind of touchy. Like these situations are kind of different than where a person breaks into your house or, you know, and it's assault, you know, this is like.
Yeah. And I wonder how long the Democrat Party kind of covered for him.
Yeah.
Because as you know, he's a huge liberal, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And he contributed a lot to Barack Obama.
Yeah, and Hillary, everybody, all the Democrats, you know, so yeah, you know, even Gavin Newsom.
Right.
And supposedly Gavin, the story is that he turned it down or sent it back because he knew that his wife had had a situation with him, you know, what's happening, what they're going through trial now. But think about that. The guy raped his wife and then is sending him campaign contributions. Think about the mentality of a guy like that.
Yeah.
You know,
she does claim DI that when Gavin heard about it or got the feeling something's off with Harvey, he sent the contribution back.
That's what she says. Yes.
But one thing you alluded to earlier before we wrap this up is there's people that are absolutely culpable, whether it's people that are seen in pictures with them, accepted as contributions, or guys that knew about it and still went and starred in his films. Like Brad Pitt, the story's famous that he went after Harvey for the Gwyneth Paltrow thing, but he did Weinstein Company movies after that, didn't he? And Tarantino in articles has said, man, I heard whispers about him, but I kept working with him. I feel bad about that. Well, then you're another enabler, you know, if you continue to make him money.
Well,
if
you heard but you never saw, you can't really blame him.
Right.
Yeah.
It ain't like he was going after Quentin.
I think he went after Mira Sorvino, who dated Quentin or something like that. There's a connection there. But
Yeah, Mira Sorvino's on the list, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Well, that's an interesting conversation. We'll see how it goes. If he, you know. It's a trial, so we'll see. He may, you know, they may drop.
Let's
I don't know.
Let's keep our eye on this. I have renewed interest now that you brought this up.
Real quick, one thing we do, I mean, it's not politically correct to bring it up, but sometimes people do lie or there's not proof or something. Like, look at Kevin Spacey. There was rumors about Spacey all the time. Then there was accusations. He's been found not guilty twice.
Right.
So what do you say?
Yeah, but
is he allowed to act again, or what? I don't know what happens here.
Not only was he not found guilty, he was also just like 2 or 3 days ago, two other guys
came forward,
charged him with fucking have sex with them. Yeah,
I didn't know there was.
He's not out of the blue.
I didn't know there was new ones.
Yeah.
All right, that's been a good talk. So.
Yeah. So if you got any question or comments or anything you'd like to add to this. You know where to send it to. Where to, Joe?
KevinHunterQuestions@gmail.com. The listeners of the show know that Conan and Disco will, you know, conversate and debate on any of their viewpoints and stuff. So if you have thoughts about this, you disagree, you agree, whatever, send an email in. Don't waste your time just going on Twitter and going, Disco approves of rape or whatever. If you have a disagreement, hit up the mailbag and then give us your points and they'll comment on them.
Right.
All right. Well, cool.
All right. I just want to thank everybody that's been making this such a popular and profitable show for us. We tried it out on a whim just to see if it would work. And from the very first episode, you guys supported this. So we thank you very much. And, you know, we'll check you out on the next Keeping It 100 Talks. Boom.